All right. Here we go. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers. Let me make sure I read this correctly. Welcome to a new episode of Talkin' Dodgers brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media. This is the number one fan podcast where we talk about your 2024 World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. Sponsored by Command Recording Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Recording Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandRecordingStudios.com. Here's what's on deck. We're going to talk Soto going to the Mets. We're going to talk Max Fried signed with the Yankees. Betts is the Dodgers shortstop going into preseason. Dodgers signed Michael Conforto. Blake Treinen staying with the Dodgers, and let's get some updates on Teoscar Hernandez, Walker Buehler, and Kike Hernandez. Really quick, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. It's a good Tuesday.
Excellent. And we will be, this is going to be the introduction of Kyle. Kyle Torme is, he's related to me, but he's also a diehard Dodger. He's one of our main fans, and so we're like, you know what, let's get Kyle on here. Let's see what Kyle's got. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to this. This will be fun.
Good.
Hey, I heard you're related to Marissa Tomei.
Oh, geez.
We're going there again. No relation, right, Kyle? No relation to the actress?
No relation. She actually spells it differently. So, no relation, thankfully.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyle's a diehard Dodger fan, from what I understand, right?
Kyle is a diehard Dodger fan. Kyle's always sending me notes. Kyle's always sending me notes, letting me know what we get right and what we get wrong. So that's why I was like, you know what, let's just get Kyle in here.
We don't get anything wrong. What are you talking about, Robbie?
Well, according to Kyle, when I was trying to give my explanation on
arbitration,
Kyle said I did it wrong. So
that's fine. Yeah. I want to hear a little. So what are your two favorite sports, Kyle? Obviously the Dodgers. And what else do you like watching?
Hockey, really. But being born and raised in Lakewood, Long Beach area, it's I'm always diehard LA. So
the LBC, you ever hang out on Second Street back in the day?
Came later. All the time. I still got friends that live out there and go out there all the time.
Yeah, I used to have good times on Second Street. Okay. Who's your hockey team?
Kings.
Okay. No Ducks?
Kings.
There's no Ducks, dude. Come
no
on,
Ducks.
Come on, man. Come on.
No Ducks. Fuck
the
Ducks.
Kings. Hey,
Dodgers, that's crazy.
Dodgers, Kings, Lakers.
Dodgers, Kings, Lakers.
All right, let's jump into it.
Yes, sir.
Boom, boom, boom. Let's talk Juan Soto. So Juan Soto is now the new contract king. So he just signed a $765 million contract for 15 years with the New York Mets. This contract can reach up to $800 million. Nothing is referred.
Deferred.
Sorry. Good call. Deferred. Let me put my D in here because I, a little bit of a typing error. So, before you, Kyle, when you were listening to some episodes, and I think Mike before you as well, we went heavily on the Shohei Ohtani contract, and we justified Shohei Ohtani's contract for being $700 million. Not just because it was deferred, but because basically you were getting two players in one. You were getting a Cy Young award-winning pitcher, and then you were getting an offensive dynamo in a DH hitter. And so basically, if you split that in half, you're basically getting two players. Each player is worth $350 million. Not to mention you get the international market in Japan, all the advertising merchandise and all the jerseys you're going to sign over in Japan and the hats and whatever the case is. So there's a lot of money to be made from Shohei Ohtani. This contract with Juan Soto, it seems in my mind ridiculous. And I'm just kind of curious what your guys' takes are. Mike, how do you feel about this contract?
It's 15 years for $765 million.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of a 15 year contract. I'm not even a fan of a 10 year contract just because I don't think the players are going to be elite going into 7, 8, 9 plus years. I think they'll be falling off their talent level.
Sure.
Personally, I think 5, 6, maybe 7 year contract is kind of the max. because you're tied to a guy that, and you're going to hope, and like I said, the back half of his contract is going to be elite. Now, with that being said, I mean, we can all agree that Juan Soto is one of the best players in the game of baseball right now.
Sure.
I'm with Robbie in the fact that he lacks severely in defensive effort and playmaking ability.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I mean, right now he's the best available player in the game, but I believe it's a little bit lopsided heavy because there's no other free agents on the market and that are his caliber. I mean, I think he's good, but I don't think he's worth 15 years, $765 million.
Yeah. He's really young. He's really young.
That's fine, but I think he's more about the money than he is being an elite baseball player.
There was a joke that was like,
I respect his game though. It's hard to say that because he is a good ball player. I just don't see the allure, I guess.
There was a joke going on that if like the A's could somehow figure out to pay him $810 million, he would have went to Oakland.
Or that would have been rad.
I guess it's Sacramento now, but
that would have been rad.
Kyle, what's your take?
Juan Soto's contract is it's Mookie's and Freddie. No, it's Mookie's and Aaron Judge's contract put together, and then some. So he's not the two of them put together at all. Is he a generational bat? Yes. Offense only. You guys already talked about his defense.
Heavily.
But the other thing is that contracts go up. Like the only reason why his contract is higher than Shohei's is because Shohei's was first. If it was the other way around, Shohei would have the higher contract.
Sure.
That's just the nature of it. It's always been like that.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, it's still, I understand that he's going to, like, every year you're going to have a new contract king. It's the way it is. Every year there's going to be a new contract king. But at the same time, for what the bang for buck that you get from Ohtani, I can justify why his contract is so big.
I cannot justify
Juan Soto's contract being that big. I just can't. Like, and we'll get into a little bit deeper once we compare him to other players and stuff like that. But it's just crazy. I mean, here's another stat for you. Well, here's a bunch of stats. This is where Juan Soto ranks as far as like since he's been in the league, since he came up with the Washington Nationals in 2018, he ranks first in walks. He ranks second in times on base. He ranks ninth with home runs, first on OBP, seventh on slugging, fourth on OPS, and then he ranks fourth on OPS plus. Like, that's phenomenal numbers. But at the same time, it's like, if you had an option, let's say that you lived in Texas and you have the two games of the weeks going on right now. You got a game of the week going on, Mets versus, I don't know, we'll even say Yankees, or you got the Dodgers playing against the Giants. Which game are you going to watch? Are you going to go tune in to watch Soto, or are you going to tune in and watch Ohtani? I feel like majority of the people would want to see Ohtani than they would Soto. That's just my opinion.
That's a good comparison. That's a good comparison, though. We'll just say this. So Ohtani had a 50-50 this past year. I don't think Juan Soto will ever be a 50-50.
Not with those leads he's taken.
Ever. He will never have a
50-50. He's stolen 57 bases his entire career.
So, but okay, let's just right there. Let's just use those two stats. Stolen bases and homers. Soto will never meet or match Ohtani's stolen base and homers as far as what that brings to the team in winning games. With those two stats alone, I don't believe he's worth more money than Ohtani.
But he does crush him, though, in on-base percentage. Like, he will get on base. If you're moneyballing it right now, Juan Soto's going to get on base for you, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that, so that extra, we talked about it during the season, how we had an argument about it. How important is that stolen base of getting Ohtani in a scoring position creates more runs for the team? So that's fine.
Right.
He gets on base, he gets on first, but he's in double, they're in, you know, double play. You know, he's not going to get to second unless he has a double, but I don't know. Nonetheless, I think he should have signed for less, or I think he should have been offered less than what Ohtani got.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here's last thing. Let's move on.
But he's not a Dodger. That's what I'm happy about.
I'm very excited about that he's not a Dodger. Very excited.
That was good, Mateo.
Last thing for you guys. Let me ask you this question. Let's say the Dodgers end up running it back with the same team, but now they've added Snell. Who's the biggest pickup so far for the Dodgers? They've added Snell.
Same team includes Teo.
It includes Walker Buehler, whatever it is, but now you've added Snell. Mets run it back with the same team. They get, what's the name back at first base?
Alonso.
They're the exact same team, but now they replace their right fielder with Juan Soto, or left fielder. I'm trying to remember who plays right field for them. Regardless, now you've added Juan Soto to the mix. Do the Mets beat the Dodgers in the National League Championship?
No, I don't think their pitching's good enough.
Yeah. No. So that's all that really matters to me.
No.
Pitching's not good enough.
That's exactly it. You hit it on the head, Mike, because just look at the scores of those NLDS games and how lopsided they were. Yes, there was the one Mets lopsided one, but
that was also against like the worst pitching the Dodgers had.
Wasn't that the bullpen? Right, exactly. Yeah. So like how much the Dodgers just dominated, and what was like Juan Soto is not going to make up for those that many runs. He's just not.
That's the most important thing right there.
Well, yeah. So you pitch around Lindor and you pitch around Soto, that leaves Alonso to beat you.
It does. So do you think now, like the Dodgers is still the number one team in the National League, in my opinion. Still number one team. Do you think this move
puts Dodgers the number one team in baseball?
Right. But at least in the National, I'm just going to caution you in National League right now. The Dodgers still number one in National League. Does this move put the Mets in the number two spot? Do they leapfrog how we feel about San Diego and how we feel about Philadelphia?
Braves.
No.
It's Phillies.
I
don't think they leapfrog San Diego.
I think it puts them, I want to say it puts them even with Philadelphia, but they beat Philadelphia in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Dodgers, Padres, and then a toss-up Mets, Philly.
So it's essentially the same thing as last year, as of right now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to our next topic, but really quick, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Go check out our Instagram page. We're on Facebook. We're on the X. We're global people. Go check out our YouTube channel. Also, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia. All of your contributions help us keep the lights on, pay that rent, even though it might be late with a 10% charge. It's totally fine. All right, let's move on. Mookie Betts, going to be the shortstop going into preseason. So, Kyle, you're the one who found this article. You're the one who brought it to our attention yesterday. Granted, this episode's a little late, but what do you take? Why don't you take the lead on this one, Kyle, since you're the one who found it?
So Brandon Gomes, Dodgers GM, said yesterday at the winter meetings that he confirmed that Mookie's going to play a shortstop. That being much is going to be playing second. And we already assumed that Tommy Edman's going to play center. Do I agree with him at shortstop? I see this as a stopgap for maybe a year or two until they can find someone to fill that spot and Mookie will play second. Because right now there's really no other, I don't think Dodgers have other options for a starting shortstop. So,
I mean, they have plenty of options for starting shortstop. I mean, you're talking about out in the market or on the team itself?
On the team right now.
You don't think
the Dodgers have like four shortstops right now.
Well, hold on. Let's just talk.
None of them are starters.
Miguel Rojas? Rojas?
Well, he was never supposed to be the starter. He got thrusted in the starting rotation or as being a starter the last two seasons. He's supposed to be a backup guy. I argue that I feel like Tommy Edman could be the starter. He
looked good.
In my opinion, he has the tools to be a starting shortstop.
Agreed. I think so too.
And I think that might be where they might go if Betts can't make that transition to shortstop. But I've been listening more and more as far as like the decision on why they want to put Mookie at shortstop. Cause it kind of, I assume they were moving him into the infield to preserve his legs, put him back at second base where he was supposed to play last season. But it turns out he likes playing shortstop. They probably had a conversation with him. They asked him probably what he wanted to do. And I feel like Mookie Betts is the one who made the decision, I want to play shortstop. And the more I think about it, this is the reason why. Mookie wants an MVP. The best way for Mookie Betts to get an MVP is to play shortstop. If he can hold down shortstop and play decent, if he can play decent defense, like where he doesn't need to be a Gold Glover, but if he can be a solid shortstop, but put up Mookie Betts numbers, he will be the MVP next year. He was on track to be the MVP before he got hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
He was. I mean, I don't think, but then Ohtani ended up going 50-50. If Betts doesn't get hurt, Ohtani doesn't move into the starting, or he doesn't start leading off for the Dodgers, he does not go 50-50 because Betts is in front of him. He's not stealing those bases. So, I'm not saying Betts is going to be leadoff hitter next year, because I feel like they might still stick with what they're doing right now as far as what happened with Shohei. But Shohei's not going to try to steal 50 bases next year because he's going to be pitching.
Exactly.
Betts playing shortstop.
I don't think he's going to steal more than 25.
Betts wants what Ohtani did. He wants to be the other guy who gets an MVP in the American League and gets an MVP in the National League. And his best path to do that is playing shortstop. So now that puts the question now is, what do you do with Lux? Is Lux your starting second baseman? Do they use Lux as a chip piece? Do they still let Lux play short? Do they still try out Lux at shortstop during preseason?
You need to have the reps.
No.
I agree with that. I don't think they should. I think Lux is on his way out.
Hey, hold on. Before we get into Lux, I want to ask a question to the both of you. How important is it? Just take Mookie Betts. Well, I mean, Mookie Betts is part of the discussion, but how important is the shortstop position? Like, generally speaking, do we need to have another Corey Seager at the shortstop position at some point? I mean, how important is that?
Defensively, infield, it's the most important.
Corey Seager also wasn't a good defensive shortstop anyways. He's kind of a bad example.
Well,
but you're talking about his offensive ability.
Yeah. Well, he was an all-star shortstop for us. I mean,
he was
good. What I mean is, okay, maybe Corey Seager's a bad example. Just the position itself. Should we have a
superstar at shortstop?
Yeah. Should we have a superstar at shortstop?
Makes your team look good. If you've got a guy,
I don't know how much more room we have for another superstar. I mean,
you don't need if Betts is your guy, you don't need to go out and get him.
We got second base open.
So think about this.
A couple outfielders that's open.
Think about this. Guy goes on the market, puts up Mookie Betts' numbers as far as offensive wise.
Shortstop?
One guy plays right field, one guy plays shortstop. Who gets more money?
Shortstop.
The shortstop guy does. So now let's just say that Mookie Betts was Mookie Betts was a free agent right now. Dude, Mookie, and he played shortstop. He would be the top get. Shortstops are huge. If he can play good shortstop, like you just got the best shortstop. You just got the best shortstop on the free market right now. Better than Ahmed, or you got better than
Arenado or whatever. Adames?
Willie Adames. Better than Adames. Better than Cabrera. Better than all those guys. Or Carrera. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Correa. Thank you. That trash can hitter. Forget that guy.
I heard he's looking for a trade.
He is. Yeah. And the rumor is the Dodgers were going to try to go for him. Now you don't. Now
you don't want him.
You don't. You got a better shortstop now.
No, we're not. No,
okay, so what I was alluding to is, so in the big picture, back to the Gavin Lux, Mookie Betts discussion. So, Betts goes to shortstop. You slide Lux into second.
He's been second. He'll slide him anywhere. He just stays there.
So keep it at second. But then I agree with you, Robbie, is I think Lux is on its way out. So what will probably end up happening is we find the heir apparent shortstop for Betts and slide Betts over to second base in the next, call it 3 years, right?
Maybe 3 years, yeah.
Give or take 2 or 3 years, right?
Maybe 3 years. Yeah,
he's not going to be at shortstop for the next 5 years, right?
I wouldn't think so. I think looking at it as a 2 to 3 year kind of deal, if it works out for him and he plays good enough shortstop, I think he's there for 2 or 3 years, and then then you move him to second base. Then you start preserving his legs,
and then bring in a superstar shortstop, or hopefully we got somebody in the farm system that could
Texas is so bad. Texas is so bad. They let Corey Seager come back to the Dodgers.
That would be cool.
Win win.
I would like to see Seager come back. I liked him, but I don't think he's an LA guy. I don't think he likes LA.
So all right. So in other words, I am actually in. I like Betts at shortstop. The more I think about it, the more I like Betts at shortstop because it's just going to get him more exposure. Betts is, in my opinion, even though we have Shohei, like I want Betts to be the guy for the Dodgers because he comes here the first year. We win a World Series. Granted, also Otani comes here the first year. We win a World Series. But there's something about like a Betts. I feel like he was the guy, and then Shohei kind of took it from him. This kind of gives him the opportunity to kind of come back and go, I'm still the guy as well. I'm not saying there needs to be a war or anything that, but I like Betts. I like Otani, but I love the fact I like this move, and I think it's going to get him an MVP. I'd love to see Betts get another MVP. It'd be more difficult for him to get another one in right field, more difficult for him to get into second base. Shortstop, he's now, I think it makes him a front runner for MVP if he's playing shortstop.
Well, and on pure athletic ability, I think he's more athletic than anybody else to play the shortstop position, giving the roster, other than maybe Tommy Edman,
yeah.
I mean, but I think he's just on pure athletic talent, I think he could be one of the best shortstops in the league.
I agree with that. I think maybe size might hurt him a little bit as far as like his reach and stuff. He might not be able to get to some balls that other people might be able to because I don't think he's got the stretch for it, but yeah. And that's getting crazy. That's when you get, I don't even...
Call him the top eight shortstops in the league.
He's right now.
Is that good of an athlete to be that good?
Right now, he's already top five. In my opinion, because of his offense, he's already top five shortstops in the league because of his offense. That's going to bring his war. We're good, dude. Like he was already, everybody talked about his defense, but he was positive though. Even all of his mishaps that he was having. And I feel like he was getting better as the year went on. I feel like if he didn't get that hand in or the hand injury, he would have been phenomenal. Next topic. Dodgers signed Michael Conforto. So let me pull this one up really quick.
You're going to have to pick up some stats off the internet because he's a giant, so I don't know anything about him.
Kyle's going to do it. All right, so Dodgers pick him up for 1 year, $17 million. Last year with the Giants, he had a 1.3 war, 20 home runs. He batted .237, .309 with a .450 slash. Look, I feel like this is a good pickup for the Dodgers because he either works out or you trade him and no harm, no foul. He's a middle of the line as far as like he's going to give you decent at-bats. He's going to give you decent defense. He could fill in the holes that you have maybe on the left side of the field or the right side of the field. He's not going to play center field. And he could have a big year. He's like, think of him as the new Teo. And that's kind of where I'm going right now. He definitely doesn't have the offensive upside that Teo did when he came over here. But if he can give you 20 home runs, 25 home runs, and he can bat like .250, that's right around where Teoscar is. And he's looking for a prove me year, and he wants to win a championship. So I think this is a pretty good pickup for the Dodgers. And if it doesn't work out, there's plenty of teams out there that'll probably want to take him off the Dodgers' hands. And maybe the Dodgers eat half the contract or 1/4 of the contract when they send him over. Either way, I think it's a good pickup. Mike, what do you think?
I don't know much about him, so I don't really have any input other than, I hope he contributes. Like, I just don't know the guy.
All right.
I don't follow the Bay Area team. I don't follow anything.
I got you.
Yeah.
Kyle, what do you think?
So if you were to look at, if you go to Baseball Savant and if you look at Michael Conforto's, if you were to compare Taylor after the 2023 season going into before the offseason before joining the Dodgers and compare that to Conforto's 24 season offseason, going into the offseason, Conforto had the better year. between those 2 years. Every single metric, not every single metric, but if you look at them, Conforto had the higher slugging, had the higher hard hit contact, barrel percentage, bad speed, chase rate, all, yeah, it's, what else? Arm strength, whiff rate is whiff about average. And compare that to Teoscar, Conforto's had a much better season going into the offseason. I think he's a perfect pickup. I think exactly what they're looking for. It's a outfielder that we need.
Is this a backup pickup in case Teoscar doesn't come back?
I don't think so.
Because Dodgers needed two outfielders.
Yeah, but you still also want to leave a pathway for the young guys to come up.
Outman and Paez, right?
Paez, then you've got big-time slugger, Kyle, who am I thinking of? What's his name? Catcher converted Rushing. Outfielder. What's up? Oh, Dalton Rushing?
Dalton Rushing.
Yeah. Like, that dude's supposed to be, like, what, like probably the biggest offensive threat the Dodgers actually have in the minor leagues, and they converted him, I believe, to outfield because his pathway coming up as a catcher is not there, considering you just signed Will Smith to a 10-year contract. So he's got to come up somewhere, and I think having a guy getting this one-year piece to kind of maybe fill in the gap a little bit, so while he's still developing, so maybe it's next year that Dalton comes up. With Teoscar, when we're going to talk about him later, what we think his contract's going to be, it's not going to be just a 1 year again with Teoscar. He's going to be here for multiple years if they pick him up. So the pathway is not going to look really good going through either. I mean, it'll be right field because Teoscar's going to be in right field. So I don't know. We'll see. I think it's a good pickup to pick up Conforto. I think it is.
I think it's great.
Can Conforto play center?
No. I guess he could. He did back in the day, but he's not. If you look at him now, like if you see some video of him, he's a pretty big dude. He doesn't really have the wheels. Yeah.
So you're going to put him in left and we'll put Edmund in center and
Teo
in right. And if he resigns. Back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be good with
that. Fantastic. Conforto is a better Hayward.
That's a
He's
good way
between
to put it.
Hayward and Teoscar.
Gotcha. Okay. That's a good analogy.
That's a great way to put it. All right, let's move on. Next conversation. Max Fried signs with the Yankees. All right, so Max Fried signs with the Yankees for $218 million for 8 years. Longest contract for a lefty in Major League Baseball history. Do you know how I feel about this? I think the Yankees got the second best starting pitcher available on the market. The Dodgers got Snell. He was first, and I feel like Max Fried was the second best. And so
he was saying today had a thing. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you can go.
Well, they said that Max Fried was like the top, you know, he thinks that Max Fried was the top pitcher of winners so far.
Right.
I'm with you. I think it's Snell. Max Fried has a lot of injury questions.
I feel like everybody does now. I mean, even if you look at like, so there's a graphic that's up right now that we're showing on our YouTube channel. So for those of you that you subscribe to the YouTube channel, check it out. You can watch Mike put on ChapStick. It's pretty awesome. It's got five of the largest contracts for starting pitchers right now. I guess in history, cause they got David Price on here. So Yamamoto's got 12 years, $325 million. Garrett Cole, 9 years, $324 million. Steven Strasburg, 7 years, $245 million. Max Fried, 8 years, $218 million. And then David Price, $7 million, $217 million. But if I was to go through all those pitchers right now, Yamamoto, first year of the Dodger, injured for most of the season. Garrett Cole has injury issues coming up right now. Steven Strasburg, we don't even have to go into that one. Max Fried, injury issues. David Price was probably the most solid out of those guys as far as like being injured. I had to go. I'd have to go back and really look at his stats. I didn't really follow him a lot because Blue Jays, Blue Jays and Boston. Right, he's Blue Jays. Yeah, yeah. God, now I got to look that up because there's going to be some guy who's going to be like, oh, you said that he was on the Blue Jays and he wasn't. Hold on.
Wasn't he injured when he was on the Dodgers?
Yeah, but he wasn't. He was more coming out of the bullpen. Like he wasn't even a starter, but yes, he was. But that's at the end of his career. Yeah. That's the end of his career.
So I wish Max was here. How much better are the Yankees with Fried in their rotation?
Better. They would be better. Yeah. That's one of the issues that they had. I mean, they didn't have good starting pitching. Max
is still an improvement on almost any rotation.
Yeah.
Roster for roster, did they beat the Dodgers in the World Series with Max Fried? If it's same returning roster on both clubs?
No. No, they don't. No. Their overall defense is garbage, and I feel like that the Dodgers would still exploit it. And I think overall the Dodgers are better hitters. And the Dodgers, even with, I guess you could say, like, they were supposed to have weak pitching going into it, their bullpen is still better.
Whose bullpen's better?
Dodgers.
So are we talking a full 100% healthy?
No.
Roster versus a full 100% healthy roster?
No, I'm talking.
You say roster right now. As the teams are right now?
2024.
Just basically like what we just did with Soto. You put Soto in on the Mets. So now you just add, you put Max Fried in. Say Max Fried pitches after Gerrit Cole. So Gerrit Cole goes game one, Fried goes game two. Now
Yamamoto and Glasnow.
Everything else is the same for the Dodgers. Now all we've done is we put Fried as the number two pitcher for the Yankees. Do the Yankees beat the Dodgers? I believe the answer is no, but considering that the Dodgers beat Cole in both of his starts, I mean, they didn't beat Cole in the first start. They beat the bullpen in the first start, but they beat Cole in the second start.
They didn't really beat Cole in the second start.
Well, if Cole knew how to run to first,
Yankees beat themselves.
Cole helped himself. Cole helped in that.
Yankees beat themselves in one inning, and that's the only inning. Yankees beat themselves in one inning.
Yeah,
I agree, Garrett.
After that, Dodgers took over the game.
I agree, Kyle.
All right.
Max Fried. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Yankees can rule the AL without Soto in the lineup. Do you think they replace Soto with a big bat?
Yeah, dude. They have they now have $700 million of money they were going to play with.
Who are they going to go after?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe Juan Torres.
They'll get somebody, but also, at the end of the day, that's an American League team that their only real threat to us is in a World Series. They got to make it back again to the World Series. I think their path is a little bit easier to go to the World Series than ours is because we have to get through
San Diego,
and now you got to get through a revamped Mets. Mets,
and then you got to go through the Phillies.
And the Phillies, yeah.
I was really surprised with the Phillies. What was that? And the Braves?
And the Braves. Braves are
possibly
still
Braves.
Yeah, because they'll have what's his name healthy again. So they'll be a force to be reckoned with. But you know they're not gonna have Max Fried. So they're gonna have some pitching issues. You know what they could have?
That's true.
Hopefully it's not Walker Buehler. All right, let's move on. Next on our topic. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help it spread like a virus. Dodgers re-sign Blake Treinen. He is staying with the Dodgers. He gets a 2-year, $22 million contract. I love this for so many reasons. He is a proven, big time pitcher. He would be a closer on pretty much any other team. He sticks with, Kopech and, Evan Phillips as being not just closer worthy pitcher, but just basically the type of pitcher you put in against the opposite team's big hitters. Key matchups, what the Dodgers did during the playoffs and pretty much all the way through the season anyways. He's a video game style pitcher. When he's healthy, he's just super dangerous. Some people think that 2 years, $22 million is a little much for Treinen. I think it's right on the money, considering that the guy basically helped win you a World Series championship, went up against some of the best hitters in the league and made them look ridiculous with that sweeper slash slider slash Ken Griffey Jr. video game pitch. So I love this pickup. Mike, how do you feel about it? Not pickup, this re-sign. How do you feel?
Yeah,
I think it's a great pick. I think it's a great pickup as well. I feel like I think he had a lot of I think he wants to be a Dodger too. His talent level is, I mean, it's a no-brainer to sign him. He did really well in the playoffs, as you mentioned. He led us to a World Series. He shut down some of the most dominant bats in Major League Baseball last season. Huge pickup. Now we just need Buehler to come back. But I'm glad he's back. And I think one thing I really like about Trinan is he seems modest, like no ego. I don't think he's going to chase the dollars. He's more after the right fit for himself and his family, and he seems really comfortable in a Dodger uniform, and I'm glad he's back.
Yeah. Kyle, what do you think?
I think he's the best closer in baseball. Because, I mean, that's obviously an opinion, but I'm not sure exactly the stats would back that up, but considering what he did in the playoffs and obviously what he did to the Dodgers in the World Series, going game five, you know, what was that, 8 outs? Something like that. It's a no-brainer to get back. It's a must. And with Hudson retiring, he kind of now has that he's the
leadership role,
the old guy so it's, which is exactly what that bullpen obviously needs, because that's what, you know, I mean, they're all dogs obviously, but having that leadership, it brought them all close together and everything. He's fantastic.
All right, so we all agree re-signing Blake Treinen was the right move. I mean, he's one of the main four that we've talked about, and we're going to talk about the next three right now. Like, the main re-signs that we all wanted was Blake Treinen, Teoscar Hernandez, Walker Buehler, and Kike Hernandez. So, you know, let's get an update on the next avail, or on the other three. So right now, Teoscar Hernandez. Kyle, what are you hearing? You're the one who did the most research on what they're saying in the winter meetings about Teoscar Hernandez, Walker Buehler, and Kike. My feeling is the Dodgers kind of messed up a little bit as far as not signing him early in the offseason, just because now with Soto being signed, Teoscar's price just went up. I personally think, like, right now the argument now is just years. And then obviously, like, how many years does he want, and how many years the Dodgers are willing to give him? I understand he's an older player, but in my opinion, I would be fine for 4 years, $25 million each year. So you basically get him a $100 million contract for 4 years. For the type of player that he is, offensive-wise, I feel like that's fair. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Kyle, you did the research on it. What are you hearing?
Absolutely. The only thing I'm hearing is that they were saying is that they were trying to finalize deals for a while. They can't exactly close the gap. And everything you just said, that, yeah, his price just went up. He's 32. I think it'd be more like a 3-year deal is what the Dodgers are probably going to be looking at to give him. But if it's 4 years, 100, that's, I don't think it'd be more than that. And the question is, if there's going to be other teams that are going to be offering more than that, and right, how much he's willing to leave on the table if he wants to stay in LA.
Right.
I don't see him signing a 5-year deal anywhere.
A 5-year?
No, just not even the Dodgers. I just mean in baseball.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to offer him a 5-year deal.
I don't think
if they do,
either.
They're desperate.
You know, I don't think the Dodgers are going to offer him a 4-year deal.
I think the Dodgers can offer him a 3 with an option for 4, a team option for 4.
Agreed. And I think that's fair. I think they should pay him a little bit more than maybe the market bears for him, just because of what he did for the team and how well he gels with the team overall. I think he's a spark in that clubhouse and on that team. Yeah. It gives us a little bit of swagger, which I talked about all season or all second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see him signing with the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, Red Sox went after him hard last season.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that, but he likes Fenway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think what you're going to see, yes, the money is a huge factor. This is probably his last big payday, hurrah, to try to get like a good, decent amount of money up front, at least guaranteed. But the pathway for Boston is not guaranteed contender every year, in my opinion. Which with the Dodgers, it's guaranteed contender pretty much every single year. You're going to be in the mix. You'll make the play. The Dodgers are going to make the playoffs every year. I would say with confidence, if Teoscar Hernandez signed a 4-year contract with the Dodgers, every year they're going to be in the playoffs contending. If he signs a 4-year contract with Boston, I don't think you could say that. I don't think you could say guaranteed they're going to be in the playoffs every year for 4 years in a row. I would maybe half. There's not that consistency over in Boston. So I think he's going to look at that and maybe he might step away from $15 million and then maybe there's some, back alley deal where Shohei is like, hey, come and play with us. I'll give you the other $15 million. Don't worry about it. Just come here. Maybe there's something happening. I'll give you a Ferrari. I'll take
here's a Ferrari.
I'll take away what's his name's Porsche, Joe Kelly's, because he was like garbage. And then you can have the Porsche and then plus, this extra money. I feel like if you really want Teoscar Hernandez, the Dodgers will figure it out. I think Teoscar wants to stay there. I think they both want it to happen. I think they'll find that ground and they'll make it happen.
Yeah, and I think winning is more important than Teoscar Hernandez than the contract or the value of the contract.
I mean, but how much?
Yeah. That's what you got to
think. I think that's where the
question is, how much is it that important
for him? I think that's why he hasn't signed yet. Obviously, he's going to get the most that he can out of it, and probably deep down, he wants to be a Dodger. He just needs to, play a little bit of hardball with them. And,
yeah.
I think the Dodgers need to give it to him.
That's why. Yeah.
Hopefully they do. All right, let's move on. Walker Buehler. Man, the Dodgers better sign this guy. I understand the Dodgers have a plethora of starting pitching, but I don't think you can have enough. Kyle, what are you hearing about Walker Buehler? Anything exciting? Are we is it positive? Is it looking down?
Well,
is it looking
grim? I mean, by exciting, do you mean Cubs, Tigers, Mets, A's, Yankees, Dodgers.
A's.
All teams interested and going at it. So right now it's anyone's guess.
I'll tell you right now, if he goes to the Yankees and you put him with Fried, Cole, those three pitchers right there, that lineup could possibly take out the Dodgers.
That's a hell of a rotation.
Because I'm a firm believer that Buehler is going to be he's going to be one of the top pitchers in the league next year. He figured it out. He got his form back, and he's going to be Cy Young caliber Buehler next year. Now, how many years you get out of him?
I can see that.
That I don't know. Mm. Maybe it's only for 2 years. Then he starts to fall off again, or something like that, after a second Tommy John surgery. But I really feel like he's going to be a guy. And so that's why I would love for him to have that Cy Young season with the Dodgers. And I would love for him to win another championship with the Dodgers. But if he goes to the Yankees, I feel like that puts the Yankees up even more. And if they're going to go after him that hard, they got the money to spend. We know they do. So who knows? Mike, how do you feel about it? I know he's your guy. He's already crying. He's already crying.
I'm scared. I'm nervous that he's going to go sign with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And I had a weird inkling about that when he pitched so well in New York. Like, he even mentioned it in his post-game interviews, how well his ball movement was and how comfortable he felt pitching on the East Coast. And
he loved it.
Yeah, I want him to come back as a Dodger. I hope we give him, a 3-year deal. I mean, he weathered his injuries. He came back and... In my personal opinion, if it wasn't for him, we don't win a World Series.
Yeah, but look at it this way. Look, if he goes, it's going to be sad day for Dodger fans if he does go to a different team and if he is the Yankees, wherever it is. He helped win. He helped the Dodgers win two World Series. Like he kind of he's done his part. Now go get your money. If the Dodgers aren't going to give you your money, go get it. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it now. I mean, it's sinking in. I'm kind of being okay with it.
But I don't think he's going to get big money though. That's the thing.
No, he's going to get money, dude. Yeah.
He's going to get paid. So
yeah, when you see Fried go out like
right now.
Now that you saw Fried go out, and then like the next big guy is
Burns.
Once Burns is gone as well, I think he's now, then he would become the top pitcher available.
Then it becomes Walker.
Yeah. At least for the upside that they can get from him. Yeah, people are going to try to give him like low contracts, but you're going to see the bidding war starting to happen. You're going to see the Yankees try to go after, you'll see the Mets, the Yankees, they'll bid after him.
I can see him going to the Mets.
I think he's going to get a 3 to 4 year contract. With some team with an opt out after two or something. I think I could see that happening. I don't think it's out of the realm that he also gets a 4 year $100 million contract. $25 million a year for Walker Buehler. I mean, that's not bad money. I could see them doing it because Tommy John surgery, if it looks like it holds up, 4 years is probably all you're gonna get out of him.
A second Tommy John.
I don't know the statistics on that. Okay. I just threw that out there.
It's the second Tommy John. I think he's going to get two and an option or opt out. Right now, almost every single pitcher contract that's been signed, free agent contract, has gone over all of the athletic predictions, USA Today's projections. They're over contract. Even Soto's was over. People are getting paid this offseason.
Right.
Walker deservingly so. I think it's going to be 2 years and an option somewhere because, like you said, I could see him being back to his potential Cy Young self. I could also see him being just like how he was last regular season.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be anything
the,
more.
The bet is on.
I highly doubt anything more than 3 years.
Kyle, the bet's on.
I highly doubt anything more than three years.
You think 2 to 3, I think 3 to 4. So if it hits three, then we're both right. Mike, what do you think? How big of a contract do you
think? It's two and an option.
I think two and an option. I think if you want it bad enough, you give him 3 years. I will say, with his relationship with Oral Hershiser and him wearing his jersey coming into the parade,
that was so cool.
I feel like there's a little bit of
I feel like
behind the scenes, there's a little bit of love for the Dodgers. I know he's got to go get his bag, but I hope maybe between the organization and Oral and Walker Buehler and his team, we can bring him back.
Yeah, but he's also got to feel like he's got that love for the team for sure. And I think the team has that love for him as well, but there's got to be that mutual respect from both ends
to
find that middle ground. And I really think this is the last, this is Walker Buehler's first and probably last time he's going to be able to get a big payday. Because remember, he pitched in college. He came up he was not a young guy when he came up. I think he pitched 3 or 4 years in college before he went into Kyle's going to look it up right now for me, please. This is his first time on the free agent market. Like, so he's going to want to get it.
If I'm the Dodgers front office, they need to take a big, hard look in the mirror and realize we don't win a World Series without Walker Buehler.
I think they know that.
So pay the guy. Get him, bring him back. Because there's no guarantee everybody coming back off the injuries are going to be dominant or solid.
Nope.
Like, you know, Walker Buehler's, I think he's coming back into a second coming of, like you said, Cy Young. Potential Cy Young next year.
They should just go to a 10-man rotation and pitchers pitch every other 2 weeks.
Whatever it takes.
2 years.
He was in college for 2 years.
I've never seen him come back. I just got something tells me that he's going to go to an East Coast team.
All right.
2014 College World Series champion was Vanderbilt. And then Dodgers 24th overall, 2015 draft. The other thing is that Walker, like talking about how the teams have respect for Walker, they didn't give him a qualifying offer, which they did to Teoscar. So,
well, I think that
might have other teams think twice about signing Teoscar.
But this is my hope. This is this is my hope, and I think I mentioned this before. I hope that my hope is that the Dodgers, what they did was, hey, we're not going to give you a qualifying offer, because if you give them a qualifying offer, that means that I believe the team loses a draft pick if they decide if someone else signs him, and the Dodgers get the draft pick. So I think that would push some teams away. So I think what they did was, and this is my hope, is that they told him, hey, we're not going to give you a qualifying offer, so that way, let's see what market's out there for you. So that way all the teams will go and let's figure out what your worth is. He figures out what his worth is. He comes back and goes, hey, these are my offers. The Dodgers match it. And they go, here you go. That's my hope. That's the reason why they did that. Because that would give him a fair shot to go out there. Because if people are going to lose their draft picks, then I think that the bid might not get that high for him. You see him do it with Kershaw. There's a mutual respect between the team, I feel like, with Kershaw and the Dodgers, where even right now, Kershaw opted out of his contract because he knew he wasn't going to be healthy at the beginning of the season. He's going to sign a new contract for less money because he feels like he doesn't want to take money he doesn't deserve. And they've done in the past before where they just keep signing these one-year contracts. They let Kershaw go out, figure out if he wants to go anywhere else, feels options. Then he comes back and goes, no, I want to stay with you for another 2 years. They did it with him for two or three times. I'm hoping that's what they're doing with Walker Buehler. Go figure out what you're worth out there. And then once you feel like you know that, you can come back and then we will match it or we'll give you something close to it.
Or we'll work together. That's what I was going to say.
That's what I'm hoping.
That's what qualifying offers do, is that if you give them a qualifying offer, it instantly diminishes their value in the free market. At the same time, it probably won't with Teoscar. And if someone were to sign Teoscar, then they have to lose the draft pick and Dodgers pick up a draft pick. It works because I don't think Teoscar's value diminishes.
Right.
But Walker is going to go find out his value, which right now is exceeding projection.
Well, should have signed him first. Okay. Last topic, Kyle. Kike Hernandez. Do you hear anything? Do you see anything?
No.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate, but I think Kike is going to be the last one to sign out of all of these three, all the four that we talked about. We already lost one out of these three. I think Kike is the last one to sign. And I think it's Mike.
He's gonna be the last one to sign. Like,
it might have something to do
for everybody else.
Yeah, it might have something to do with the Dodgers. If the Dodgers move Lux, I didn't even think about this. If the Dodgers move Lux for a couple key relievers, that opens the door for Kike. Then you sign Kike.
Put him at second.
Well, no, position player. You put him at second, or you finally figure out a way to get rid of Chris Taylor. Then you get Kike. I think it's gonna matter between Chris Taylor and Kike. Chris Taylor and Lux, I think that's going to determine when they sign Kike. I think they're going to figure out something to do with either one of those guys, and then they'll get Kike. And I think Kike is going to wait until the very end to sign with somebody in hopes to come back as a Dodger. That's my thought. Anybody want to contradict it, or you want to end this?
Kyle, what are your thoughts on Kike Hernandez? Go for it.
All I was going to say is that Dodgers are still interested in getting a couple more arms of the bullpen. One of them is Tanner Scott. The other one is Devin Williams. Tanner Scott's a free agent. Devin Williams is not. So there's talks. There's also talks of Crochet, the Tigers, I believe. Also would be trades. Gavin Lux could be a trade piece. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think he is a trade piece. That's just my opinion.
Now, those are my thoughts on Kike, is Gavin Lux can be a trade piece. But like Kike wants to be a Dodger. Everyone knows that. The Dodgers know that. I think Kike knows that he's just chilling. He's waiting at home doing his thing, going to Raising Cane's and
taking his daughter to the movies.
Yep.
And going to the movies and trolling people online with himself in an Astros jersey. But
yeah, that was ridiculous.
But Kike knows that the Dodgers have other things that they need to shore up. He knows that they're going to go after Snell and Teoscar and Walker and everyone else that we've talked about, and maybe these other pitchers. Kike knows that when the Dodgers need me, they have my number. Right. But that doesn't mean that other teams aren't interested in Kike, but Kike wants to be in L.A. He's already said that. So yeah. I think it's just like Trinan, hopefully like Walker. It's just a matter of, and Kershaw. It's just a matter of with Kershaw, it's not a matter of if, just a matter of when. And then we'll just figure out the numbers. I think that Kike is going to be the same way.
Yeah. All right.
That would be the hope. I agree. Yeah. Kike needs to come back. It's just, he fits the team.
Yeah.
He fits the team. I think he's same thing. He's got some swagger. He brings fun to the clubhouse. I say find a way to get rid of CT3 and get rid of Lux and bring Kike back.
That's another thing. Now you don't have CT3, then, yeah, definitely Kike becomes a priority.
I don't see the value in Chris Taylor any longer. I liked him, but I think he's done.
I feel the same way. I feel like what Tommy Evans brings you, and then the same thing with what Kike can bring you. And then even for that matter, even Rojas.
Between the three of them,
His defensive abilities. I think that there isn't a need for Chris Taylor. Now, Chris Taylor, two or three years ago, the guy was a stud. Like, I liked him a lot. I feel like he was pretty clutch as well. But there's something...
He looked old and tired in the playoffs. What did he get, one or two at bats, whatever?
His
and then he got pulled a hamstring or something? Yeah.
Here's my problem with Chris Taylor. Yeah. He does not... I feel like he's very bad at making adjustments. And what I mean by that is it seems like he only has one swing. Like there's no swing in between. So once you find that hole, a pitcher's just going to throw that hole every single time. And his swing is swing as hard as you can, uppercut velocity, and hope it goes out of the park. That's what his swing looks like every single time. But you'll look at like other players in the team, and I will go through the whole list. Like Ohtani makes adjustments on his swing. Betts makes adjustments on his swing. Freddie adjustments.
Freddie had to make adjustments on his swing.
Max Muncy not only makes adjustments on his swing, he makes adjustments on his foot, on his footwork, so that way he has a better ability, a better swing path to it. They all make adjustments. He reminds me.
He
did the same thing. But what he reminds me of, and I feel like it's the same issue the Dodgers had. I know we're going long on this topic, but it just reminded me of some stuff that the Dodgers had issues with Bellinger. Bellinger had the same thing where he would make unnecessary adjustments, but then at some point it felt like he stopped listening to hitting coaches and just started doing his own thing. So he still kept that really long swing, and that's why he wasn't really productive at the end of his year or his last year with the Dodgers, because he was still coming back from the shoulder surgery, whatever. But the talk was that he just was like, I'm just going to do my own thing. And I feel like that's kind of what Chris Taylor is doing, where he's like, this is my swing that worked well for me 3 years ago. I'm not going to change it. And I feel like he needs to make that adjustment. He gets older. Maybe he's swinging later on the pitch. Maybe his reaction time is not as good. Pitchers are better. Pitchers figure out his hole. Like his, faster. Like they're getting to the spot quicker than his bat speed is. He's not making the adjustments. Either he's not doing it willingly or he just can't do it. Either way, I feel like he just needs a change of scenery. Trade him to an American League team that, you know, odds of us facing him is not good. And then, you know, just move with what you got. Get Kike, just re-sign him, or you trade Lux, whatever you want to do. And then you still have another pathway for other players in your minor league system to come up and showcase their skills in the infield. And maybe you find the next Chris Taylor, the next versatile player or something like that. Because it just, it doesn't seem logical to keep Chris Taylor anymore. Like, you have other people that can provide exactly what he did, right. Better right now. So get rid of him.
Lux and Taylor in a package with probably a couple others is going to be an enticing trade option, I think.
Sure. And you know what it's not going to be, though? It's not going to be for Arenado, because he said there's no path for him to come to the Dodgers. I forgot about that one. Anyways,
nope.
We're going to wrap this up. Unless you guys want to go another 20 minutes.
No, anybody? We're good.
All right. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Talking Dodgers. Thank you, Kyle, for stepping in. Good tryout. Mike and I will have a conversation behind the scenes, and we'll figure out if you're worthy enough to join our squad. But other than that, thank you all for listening this long. If you've listened this long, you must be true fans. Please go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia. All of your contributions help us stay awake by buying coffee, help us keep the lights on, pay that rent, that 10% late fee rent. It's going to be awesome.
Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button.
Hit the like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like and subscribe.
And we will catch you guys next time. Goodbye.